Good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And what a joy it is to come back together as one to worship our God in spirit and in truth, and to praise His holy name for His merciful kindness to us and to the children of men. Our opening song is Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise God for His grace and strength that makes it possible for us to trust and obey. Well, dear ones, whoever would like to give opening prayer, please feel free.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can stop what we're doing in the middle of the week and just relax and fellowship with you and our brothers and sisters in this quiet place. And now we ask that you open our hearts and our understanding to the word and impress upon our minds ways in which we can improve by reading your word and finding little niches of time here and there to fellowship with you. Be with those who are sick, who are sorrowful, who are grieving, and bring them comfort and healing according to your will. And thank you, dear Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, dearest sister. Continuing in Romans chapter 16, almost to the very end, we're at verse 19, where we left off last time. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Paul was mentioning those that have a profession of faith, but no substance. They understand the truth, but because they don't have Christ in the heart, they don't have 100% truth. So they're wide open for false doctrines and misunderstandings and misinterpretations of Scripture. And they will come in among God's people and profess to be one with and of them, but they're there for another reason. They're not there to be benefited and to benefit. They're there to all be benefited. They want individuals to center around them. They want individuals to listen to their doctrines. They want to take the pulpit and preach. And their whole goal is to win followers away from the group to themselves so that they may be supported, that they may be a leader, if you will, but not according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they'll speak very fair. Their sermons sound very persuasive, but when you do your homework and you compare line upon line, precept upon precept, text with text, passages with passages in God's word, in testing the sermons, the speeches, the doctrines of these individuals, you'll find that their messages are not 100% correct. There's truth there, but it's a mixture of truth and error, and thus there is no light in it. So we need to be on our guards. We need to be grounded and settled, fixed in God's word, pleading for the Spirit to continue to lead and guide us into all truth so that we may be able to recognize truth from error and have nothing to do with the error. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 19 of chapter 16 of Romans. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. So Paul was commending the Romans here because of their obedience to the gospel of grace, to the word of God, to the scriptures. And it wasn't just among their own church that this obedience was recognized, but it had come abroad. Their fruits were manifest to all. And Paul said that I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple, or in other words, unlearned concerning evil. So even though there was evil all around them, Paul didn't want them to become knowledgeable about it. He wanted them to spend their time in that which was good, to become knowledgeable and wise in that righteousness, and to be unlearned in the things of the world, that which is evil. And it's the same today, dear ones. If people come up to you and ask you, who's in the World Series? And you could not give them an answer. That would make you unlearned in the things of the world, which is something that we need to be unlearned in. Now, if they came and asked you, you know, what is the first principle of righteousness, then you'd be able to respond to them from God's word. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth knowledge unto the simple. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you'd be able to present to them the truth in answer to their question regarding things of righteousness, things which are good, and that would make you wise. But you wouldn't be able to answer them on things concerning the world, which would make you simple concerning evil. So the very same message that Paul brought 2,000 years ago to the Christians is the very same message for today. Be wise in that which is good, and the only good is God. So be wise in things that are connected with God, and unlearn simple concerning the evil things of the world. Anything opposed to righteousness, be unlearned. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Would someone like to read verse 20?
Good evening, everyone. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Now, what does it mean here that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet, referring to the followers of God, under your feet shortly? What does that mean?
Does it mean that if Satan is bruised under your feet, it means that he doesn't have dominion over you because your faith and trust is in Jesus?
Amen. I think that is a possible meaning. Now, notice it didn't say that Satan would be dead or turned to ashes. So this isn't referring to after the 1,000 years where Satan and all the wicked are thrown into the lake of fire and they're burned up to ashes, and then there'll be ashes under the soles of the feet of the saints. But this just says here that Satan shall be bruised under your feet. So in other words, he has been forced down from being over the top of you. So just like our dear sister mentioned, he's no longer in control of you. And who's going to do this? Who's going to take Satan away from being in control of you to now being under your control? You can't do it yourself. It says the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So in other words, God is the one that gives you the victory over Satan in everything. But it didn't say the God of war here. It said the God of peace. And that's exactly what God does in your heart. as soon as you determine to follow him and no longer to follow the devil. God will make it so that Satan has no more dominion over your heart. That's Romans chapter 6. Satan shall have no more dominion over you, for you're no longer under death, but now you're into life in Jesus Christ. And once Satan is put down and Christ is uplifted in your heart, then you have peace. And it's all because of God's divine power and his grace being manifested in your behalf. And that peace is sweet, dear ones. But it can't just be once and then never again. It has to be an ongoing daily peace. A renewing of the peace that you had yesterday. And continuing on. And God is able to do that. He's all powerful.
With the bruising, I am also found another place to where it refers to the bruising, which is Genesis 3:15. And it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, thank you, dear sister. But that text is actually referring to something else here. That was referring to Christ and Satan. Satan would be able to bruise the heel of Christ. That represented his death on the cross. But Christ would bruise Satan's head. Not his heel, as you read, but head. That meant that Christ was superior over the devil. So here we see, in a different way, that the God of peace, and Christ is the Prince of Peace, would bruise Satan under the feet of his saints. In other words, would bruise his head, as you read there in Genesis 3:15. But Satan would bruise the heel of Christ by causing his death. Now notice it didn't say here that Satan would not be able to attack God's people. It didn't say he wouldn't be able to bruise God's people. It just says that God would put Satan under your feet and would give you peace. So in the world, even though Satan is put under us, God gives us the grace and strength to control our body. So Satan is put under us, under control. It is still through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. So we're going to have trials and tribulation. We're going to have persecution. We're going to have pain, sorrow, sadness. But none of these things can conquer us, can overcome us. We can gain the victory over them all through Jesus Christ, which strengthens us, which bruises Satan under us. Amen. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that calleth upon him. Amen. Thank you for that correction. And he knoweth them that trust in him. I said calleth in him. So sorry about that. And thank you for that correction. Would someone like to read verses 21 through 23? Please feel free.
Good evening, dear ones. Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Aretas, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, my brother.
So Paul, after this epistle, after this letter, is finally bringing it to a close. And notice here in verse 21, or verse 22, that it was not Paul who wrote himself, but it was Tertius for the Romans. And another passage, it was Timothy. In another passage, I believe it was Luke or some other individuals that were writing with Paul and traveling with him and writing for him. And one of the reasons why is that on the road to Damascus, when Paul was blinded there by the vision from the Lord and scales fell off his eyes 3 days later in answer to his prayers, the result of that occurrence left him with poor eyesight. So for Paul to write small was almost an impossibility because he couldn't see what he was writing. He had to write really big in order for him to see it. So he had other individuals write what he dictated to them. So Paul would speak and others would write it down and would then dispatch it off or make copies of it and send it to many different places. But that meant that Paul had individuals helping him in the ministry, and Paul wasn't alone, at least at times. And you can just imagine the comfort that that gave Paul, especially as he continued to get older, having individuals there to help him, to encourage him, to pray with him, to go out door to door with him. And it just made the work that much more easy to perform. Paul would have done it whether he was all alone and the only one in the entire world that believed the same way. He still would have remained faithful to God and done his work. But it would have taken him a lot longer than it did having companions to help. And it's the same today, dear ones. Those that have chosen to follow Christ, they'll continue to choose to follow him even if they're completely forsaken by their friends and family. But how much better it is to have family members, to have brothers and sisters in the faith to help you and encourage you, to strengthen you in your work for God. It helps it spread that much faster, and it's so much more enjoyable to have brothers and sisters of the faith standing with you in this present truth. But we need to learn how to stand alone if necessary, because Christ is worth it all. He's worth every bit of sacrifice. If we lose our wives, children, our husbands, fathers, mothers, friends, brothers and sisters, and we're all alone, yet we're really not alone, because Christ will never leave us or forsake us as long as we confess him before men. And what a comfort that is, especially as we draw nearer the end. So Tertius wrote what Paul dictated to him. Timotheus was there helping Paul, his fellow worker. Lucius, Jason, Sosipater were his kinsmen that were helping him. He was staying in the home of Gaius. And the whole church where he was writing this letter from saluteth their fellow brothers and sisters in Rome. And even Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth the Romans, as well as Quartus, a brother. So Paul here lists a lot of the individuals that were helping him, were supporting him, that were tending to his needs, that were fellow workers or co-workers with him. Well, let's go ahead and end it here, and we'll pick it up next time at verse 24. And are there any prayer requests? Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead. Well, let's go ahead and bow our heads and kneel as we enter into a season of prayer. And whoever would like to pray, please feel free to do so, and I'll start. So let us bow our heads. Dear precious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for thy precious word that gives us counsel and instruction, encouragement, admonition and warning, and precious promises that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. Our dear Father, I pray that you will continue to work within us a transformation from death to life, that we may gain the victory in Christ Jesus, which strengthens us, and that Satan shall be put under our feet through your power and divine strength, that we might be an overcomer. Please give us extra discernment and wisdom, courage, steadfastness, and divine grace and strength, that we might indeed bring a smile to your face, become wise in that which is good and simple concerning evil, and learn to stand with thee regardless of the consequences. We thank you for dear brothers and sisters of the faith. We thank you for family members that are not fighting with us in this message, but are standing with us or close to. Continue to work in their lives. Continue to open their understanding and help them choose to give up the world that they may win Jesus. Please help us all not to have a double heart or a double mind, but to be wholly on the side of Jesus and to be growing more and more into his likeness and image each day. I pray that you'll be with those who have requested prayer, whether spoken or unspoken. Thank you for hearing and answering each one according to thy perfect will. And please bring healing grace, whether mentally, physically, or spiritually, to those who need it, and draw them closer to thee, their great physician and healer. And thank you so much for doing so. We also thank you that this dark world is being filled with your glory more and more each day. And soon every nation, kindred, tongue, and people will have heard the present truth and made their decision for or against it so that the end can come and we can go home. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer and for doing so much to bring us to salvation. And please help us to work with thee and not against thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we come to thee with our problems, with our unspoken problems and prayers. And we ask that each is comforted knowing that you hear and that you understand and that the Holy Spirit has put into words that which we cannot and has even gone farther than we could hope with request, because we don't know sometimes the full extent of the problem, but the Holy Spirit does. And help us when we are besieged on every side to find that special promise in your word that gives us comfort at that time and gives it to us instantaneously so we can be pulled out of the pit. And thank you, God, for doing this. And also put in our minds the words that we can speak to others that will help them stand on a higher plane and feel the joy and the energy which you have reserved for those who love you. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for us and for loving us and for making a way of escape. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Well, dear ones, are there anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, may God bless. I pray that the rest of the week will be good and profitable, especially for your spiritual growth in grace and in knowledge. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you on Friday and the beginning of the Sabbath. And so until then, keep looking up. And I would like to leave you with this hymn this time instead of a scripture song. And if you know this, please join in. Let our hearts be always cheerful. Why should murmuring enter there? When our kind and loving Father makes us children of his care. Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around we see. Full of beauty is the path of duty, cheerful we may always be.
With his gentle hand to lead us, should the powers of sin assail, he has promised grace to help us. Never can his promise fail. Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around us we see. Full of beauty is the path of duty, cheerful we may always be.
comes the pain of doing wrong. And for us, checks the rapture of our song. Always cheerful, always cheerful. And we see, full of beauty is the path of duty. Cheerful we may always be.
All the good will strive to be happy, and their path is ever bright. Let us heed the blessed counsel, shun the wrong and love the right. Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around us we see. Full of beauty is the path of duty. Cheerful we may always be.
Pardon me to the writer of this song for adding words, but my music and words don't mix up sometimes because I may have lost something in the translation. Sorry.
It's okay, dear sister. The ad-libbing is fine. I make changes in songs myself just to sort of make it sound a little better or maybe come better into the presentation of truth. So there's no problem at all. And thank you so much for your participation. Dear ones, keep a smile on your face and remember, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. So keep looking up and may the God of peace fill you richly and abundantly with his love.